Tonight, Brother Leighton Kelly was supposed to be here, and his son fell out of a window. Matthew chapter 15, if you'll go there, please. Matthew 15. His youngest son, who's just, I want to say, how old is he again? I can't remember. 11 months? Oh yeah, he'll be a year. Is it a year tomorrow? And he just crawled out the upstairs window and tried to fly, I guess. That kid is doing well, but it sure scared everybody. That's where Daddy is right now. Brother Kelly is there in the hospital and with his wife Claire. So I'm going to preach to you tonight. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. Look at your Bible. Jesus is responding to a question about the Pharisees. The disciples were remarking how the Pharisees were upset. And you know, you'll never not upset somebody. Just make sure you upset them for the right reason. Amen. And in verse 14, it says this: let them alone. Leave those Pharisees alone. They be what? Watch these words. They be blind leaders of the blind. That's a good skit to do. Have a bunch of leaders leading blind people. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, I want to talk about how the world needs some wise people. And our world is struggling. The people I'm around live like a bunch of blind men walking off a cliff. Adults today believe that murdering babies in a mother's womb is okay. I think that's very blind. I think that's pretty stupid. Adults today believe that we are all animals. Now, we may look like them. We may smell like them. We may even like them. But we're not evolving. Adults today think that as long as people just love each other, it doesn't matter what they do with each other. And that's wrong. Adults and teenagers today believe that drink and drugs are okay as long as nobody gets hurt. Let me tell you, folks, our world is struggling with what is right and what is wrong. Now, what that does is it makes us so foolish people are in charge of things. Foolish people are in charge. Now, I'm not saying they're not smart. I mean, back in long time ago, they built the pyramids a long time ago. They didn't build them with JCBs and cranes and iPods and iPads and computer programming. But they built the iPod. They're pretty smart, wouldn't you agree? They built New Grange. How many have been to New Grange up there near Dublin? That big dome thing there, 5,000 years ago. They built Stonehenge. I mean, these guys were smart. You can still go to Stonehenge. You can go to New Grange today. And on winter solstice and on summer solstice, when the sun is at its even point, the longest day and the shortest day of the year, it goes right down an exact line right into the chamber there in New Grange. It was aligned perfectly 5,000 years ago, and it's still perfectly aligned. Pretty cool stuff. People were smart. You know what Europeans were doing when Solomon was king? Solomon's down in Jerusalem. And you know what Europeans are doing? They're eating each other. They're burning their enemies. They're slaughtering each other. They were at war all the time. War raged across Europe. The Germans tried to conquer the world time after time again. They still tried to do it just 70 years ago. The people who are leading the blind people throughout history have been blind themselves. And we still have some blind people today trying to be leaders. They're called movie stars. Called music stars. It's kind of funny. Everybody wants to dress like them. Everybody wants to act like them. I mean, anybody wants to look like and act like Justin Bieber ought to be shot. Anybody wants to act like Michael Jackson ought to be creamed with shaving cream and everything else. Listen to me. People who do not believe there's a God are telling people to follow them. That's the blind leading the blind. The world needs Solomons again. The world needs people who have not wisdom. They don't need wisdom from down here. They need wisdom from above. And think about young Solomon. Young Solomon was how old when he became a king? Anybody tell me? He was only 18 years old. How much longer do you have till you're 18? What are you, 12, 13? How old are you? You're 10, okay. So you got 8 more years and you'd be how old he is, right? I was. And yet at 18 years old, he took a quiet, almost backward country like Israel was, and he made it one great nation under God. War was going on all around Israel, but nobody dared attack Israel when Solomon was king. Solomon studied and learned about the world instead of just conquering it and throwing it all away. He wrote book after book after book about what he learned. He learned long before you ever came into school. He learned about biology, chemistry, astronomy, meteorology, botany, and best of all, he learned about theology. He loved learning. He even was instrumental in distributing copies of the Old Testament all over the world. People would visit Jerusalem, and on their way out or when they came in, they picked up portions of the Bible and they went home with it, because Solomon was a kind of a unique fellow. He was so famous, a queen traveled over 1,000 miles just to go listen to him. Solomon. The world needs wise men. Take your Bible, go back to 1 Kings, please, chapter 3. 1 Kings, chapter 3. Brother Everly preached on this last night, and I want to kind of take off where he left. I want to show you something. 1 Kings, chapter 3, and verse 7. Listen again to Solomon as he is praying, and I want you to see three things about Solomon. Now, O Lord my God, look what he says. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. This is Solomon talking. And I am but a little... Next time you're big stuff and you're, and I'm 18 years old, you're nothing but a child yet still. I know not how to go out or to come in. Verse 8. And thy servant, he's still talking to God. He says, thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, talking about Israel, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked the thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding. What's the next word? Good. So that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. You know, I find three things in that portion of scripture. Verse 7, the world needs a Solomon, like verse 7 says, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. Now, how many of you know how to go out and come in through that door? How many of you know that? You can, if I said go out that door, you go, okay. Da, da, da. I could be a chicken too. All right. Anybody go out. He's not talking about going in or out of a door. He's talking about going out to war. He don't know. He says, I don't know how to go out and come back alive. I would fail. If there was a battle and I had to lead everybody, follow me, we wouldn't come back. We'd be killed. Solomon says, I have to go to war. I have to lead these people. But you know what? He wasn't going to run from it. The world and Israel needed a king who said, but I'll do it if you'll help me. I know what I've got to do. God, I don't know how to do it, but if you help me, I'll do it. That's courage. Wisdom will give you courage. Another thing that I see in this, look down in verse 9. I think this is really cute. He says, chapter 3, verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern, that I can decide between good and bad. Now, I know your mom puts the plate. How many like peas? How many like broccoli? How many like Brussels sprouts? Shame on you. Your mom puts something out there. It doesn't take anything. You go, I like this. Oh, I don't like that. You know about some of those things. But how can you tell? Is that a good show for me to be watching? Or should I switch it off? You see, you need, well, your conscience can be burned out, man, so you don't feel anything. You need to be able to choose between what is good and what is bad. So you need, God needs and is looking for a generation that will have some courage and that will be wise enough to make some wise choices. I'm not going to do that. Everybody else may be doing it. My dad had a saying when I was a kid. Everybody's doing it, picking their nose and chewing it. What was he getting at? Don't do everything everybody else is doing. You'll remember that song now for the rest of the camp. What's the point? The point is, everybody else may be doing something. You got to be able to say, no, I won't do that. Okay. Amen? That's wisdom. Are you following me? The third thing, look there in verse 8. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. Notice how he calls himself your servant, over and over. The third thing that the world needs from you is for you to have a heart ready to serve others instead of thinking only of yourself. Now that's where Brother Dan left us last night. I want to take us one more step. Because Proverbs chapter 13, I'm talking about the world, but I want to make it really particular. Your friends need you to be wise. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13 in verse 20. The Bible says in the New Testament, there in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says that we should be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that lieth in you. There needs to be some people in this world that have some answers, some Bible answers, some wisdom from above. Your friends need you to have some right answers. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says this, he that walketh with wise men shall be what? But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Here's another skit for you. I'll play it out. I don't know Jesus Christ. I just go to school. I just hang around. I just, watch whatever's on MTV. But I hang with Dylan here. Come up here, Dylan. Stand up here for me. Dylan's trying to be a wise man. He's trying to do right. He's never going to be perfect, but he can be wise. And the Bible says, whoso walketh with, what does the Bible say right there in that verse? Talk to me. Whoso walketh with wise men shall be. Wow! If Dylan is a fool, what are his friends going to be? But if one of his friends is a fool and hangs with Dylan and Dylan's trying to be wise, what's he going to do to his friends? Going to help them be wise. Amen. Your friends need you to become wise this week at camp. Thank you, Dylan. Thank you. Father, would you help us tonight to realize this is not about Solomon. This isn't about the world. This is about us and how you want to change us and transform us. Solomon's dead, but the need of the world is the same. We need some Solomons again. We need some wise men for some people to walk with so that they be wise. The world doesn't have any choice. They don't know anybody wise unless we walk the walk of Christ. Lord, there's plenty of people in this room who can make a right choice tonight if they pray the prayer that Solomon prayed for an understanding and a wise and a serving heart, a courageous heart that will do what you ask of him to do if only you would help them. Please, Lord, bless this message and this thought to your people and to the unsaved in this room so they don't go another minute without being born again. And we go out of here saying, I am not going to be the fool. There are too many people counting on me to walk the walk of the wise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as you go to First Kings, let's go back to First Kings chapter 3, where we will just spend our time looking at some things. The world needs some wise men and wise women and wise boys and wise girls. You should go to 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16. I want you to see two women. Verses 16 and 17. 1 Kings chapter 3, 16 and 17. Here come two women. This is just after Solomon has prayed. It says in verse 16, then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and they stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. Just starting here with these two verses here, these two women were mothers. They both had gotten pregnant. They both got very pregnant, and they just had babies. They weren't normal moms, though. They were what the Bible calls a harlot. That means they had sex without a husband. The Bible says that that's wrong. As a matter of fact, it's very destructive. It does not. It does not make anything exciting. It leaves bitter, bitter taste in everybody's mouth. And if you'll notice, these two ladies, they are alone. They have no friends, they have no family. Nobody's standing with them. The kind of trouble that they're in, they're feeling it because nobody's with them there. They were living wrong. These were two ladies who their lifestyle was ruining their lives. Do you know there are some wrong ways to live? If every time I walked through a crowd, I punched people. Trip. Is that a wrong way to go through a crowd? So there are right ways to live, and there are wrong ways to live. And these two ladies were living wrong. The Bible calls them harlots. Both were husbandless. What does that mean? They had no husbands. Yes, they lived in the same house, but they had no family. And they were in a mess. Folks, sin hurts you. And the longer you stay in sin, the more it hurts you. And both were desperate. They were standing before King Solomon. Now, they had the biggest, most impossible problem you could imagine. They had already been to court. They had already tried different judges to try to help them settle a problem and knew no one had known what to do. So they now have brought the problem to the high court, to the highest court in the land. They brought it before King Solomon, and it was up to him to decide what to do with their problem. You see, there was two women. Both had gotten pregnant, but there was only one baby. Look in verse 18. And it came to pass, this woman is continuing to describe, and she says, it came to pass the third day after I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She was feeding the baby, and then maybe she turned, we don't know, but the baby was dead. She arose at midnight, and that woman took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid my baby in her bosom and laid her dead child in mine. Can you imagine how hurtful and how hurt these two women are Verse 21, when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman, remember, she's been sitting there quiet all this time. She said, nay, no, but the living is my son and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. It was a big argument. She said, it's mine, no, no, it's mine. Oh, man. One baby. Remember, they both had gotten pregnant. Both had given birth to precious babies. In that home, there was a bit of joy. I mean, when a baby's born, I mean, they make a lot of noise, don't they? But they're cool. Babies are awesome, especially grandbabies. My dad said if he had known how much fun grandchildren were, he would have had them first. But they had no family around them rejoicing in the birth of those children. No one was standing with them that day before the king. And there they were holding up one baby. Where'd the other baby gone? Well, it was a terrible accident. But a worse tragedy had happened than the loss of the baby. One woman, whichever one we don't know, one woman had accidentally smothered their child. But the other woman had her child taken. And it was now in the arms of another woman. How would you feel? Do you understand? One of them is grieving over the death of their child. The other one is grieving over the fact that that woman is my child. What a dilemma. What a problem. What do you do when you got two screaming women, one baby? How do you decide?
You're one of the women.
Wow. Okay. We need to work on your Solomon wisdom. If anybody needed wisdom, it was Solomon. How do you tell who a baby belongs to? I know, you look at the baby and go, he looks just like his father. And they go, no, he doesn't. He looks just like his mother. Oh, man. Everybody's got their own opinion. How do you tell whose baby belongs to who? No one could have figured out what to do with this situation. They needed a wise man. Look in verse 24. Well, verse 23, let me just read this. Then said the king, now listen to him. The one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. It's a pretty big problem. Who does this living baby belong to? Solomon has to make a choice. What would you do? What's Solomon going to do? Look at verse 24 to 27. Let's see what Solomon does and see if we can apply it to ourselves. Verse 24 said, and the king said, bring me a sword. Sounds like Leon here. Bring me a sword. And you got to give them credit. And they brought a sword to the king, before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two. And give half to the one, and the other, and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels, her innermost aching heart, it says, her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, oh my Lord, give the other woman the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other woman said this, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Sure, she wasn't related to you? Then the king answered and said, give the first woman, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. What a thing. Now, I want to talk about this guy. What did he just do in those three verses? What did he do? The first thing was he listened well. Now look, if I hear two women arguing, you know what I want to do? Scream louder or run, yeah. Run is probably the first thing I want to do. But I say, shut up! That's what I would have done. But Solomon lets them talk. and lets them go, and he watches them. You know, the smartest people in this room and the wisest people in this room are the ones who have a closed mouth. And they just watch, they listen, and you'll learn. You'll be surprised at how smart you'll be if you don't talk so much. Amen? The Bible says a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man will keep it in until afterward. So Solomon sat there and listened. That's why we have preaching. We can just have fun and games. But we get you to stop, watch some of the... You're watching some of these counselors. You're watching the preaching so that you will listen, so that you'll become wise. Because God says that by the foolishness of preaching, God had chosen to save them that believe. He can change your life if you just listen. Solomon, first thing he did was he sat there and let them argue and explain. And he didn't jump on them. I mean, I can look at this and say, yeah, you look like the mother. Go ahead and take the kid. But I can't do that. I've got to be careful if I was going to make that decision. Wouldn't you be slow to talk and go, I better be very careful about what I choose here. Secondly, did you know what he did already? What did he do in the previous verses? Remember, we started reading in verse... Where did I start us? In verse 17? Oh, where did I start? Verse 16? Remember, that's verse 16. Go back just a few verses. And in verse... Where did I start it? 7. Wasn't it just in verse 7? Now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. What is he doing? He's humbling himself, but he's doing something else. He's praying. He's asking for an understanding heart. He's saying, Lord, I don't understand what to do. What had he done first before he dealt with his problem? He prayed and he asked for wisdom. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Just after Hebrews comes James chapter 1, verse 5. It is one of our memory verses. Holding your place there in 1 Kings, go to James chapter 1 and verse 5. Who can quote it for me now? If you can, raise your hand up. James 1, 5. We just did it tonight. If any of you... Oh, if you have that checked off on your book and you can't do it now, I'm going to have it scratched off and start all over. James 1, 5. Who can do it? Yes, ma'am. Katie Ann. All right, if any of you lack wisdom, how many of you lack wisdom? Yeah, just like I lack lots of things. If any of you lack wisdom, what are you supposed to do? Ask of God. I'll show you another verse. I'll show you another one that's even, go to Proverbs. Still holding your place in 1 Kings, go to the middle of your Bible, it's Psalms, and then the next book after that is Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. This is wisdom talking. I live with prudence. And I find out knowledge of witty inventions. Smart things. Verse 14. Counsel is mine. And sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Down to verse 17. I love them. This is wisdom talking. I love them that love... Is that true with you? Do you love those that love you? Of course you do. And wisdom says, I love them that love me too. Still looking at verse 17. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. You know what you need to do before you head off to school in the morning? Ask God for wisdom. Every day. Every day. Because you never know when you're going to run into a problem. You're going to go, I have no idea what to do here. I'm not talking about a math problem either. Okay? Math problem, you get to study. Wisdom, God's going to have to give to you. He had already asked asked God for help so that he could help others. Third thing, he went crazy. Now this is cool. Remember, we were going to set up a throne. I didn't because I didn't want to. I didn't know how to do it. But he sat down on that throne. He heard these two ladies, and everybody expected him to go like Dean. They just expected him to go. You're the one. He didn't do what everybody expected. Where are you, Dean? I need you to teach me how to do that. Amen. He didn't do what everybody expected. He said, bring me a sword. Do you know, as a Christian, the world's going to expect you to do things like they think that should be done. And when you don't, they're going to look at you and go, you're crazy. What do you want a sword for? Solomon calls for a sword. This is crazy. Who would ask for a sword when dealing with two women and a baby? Maybe Leon, but normal people. Normal people wouldn't ask for a sword, but Solomon did. He kind of goes crazy here. But I want you to understand, people with God's wisdom will seem crazy to the world. You'll do things the world will go, they're nuts. Like what, brother? They'll care. People with God's wisdom will carry their Bible with them. Take it to school with them. I took mine to school when I was 17. I got saved the last year, my sixth year in secondary school, took my Bible. When I would sit down at lunch and I pulled my Bible out and I'm reading it, I'd look around and it looked like 15 feet. Everybody kept away from me, man, like a bomb went off. They just stayed away from me, kept me out of trouble. I then started to work. I went to Bible college, started work at different companies, and I ended up working for the telephone company, and I would take my Bible to work with me. I went in, I was in an office, there were two of us, one guy worked one guy was from Malta, and when I would come in, I placed my Bible right on the corner of my desk, and I'd sit over here and have my computer terminal. We didn't have the internet back in. Have my computer terminal here and all my books and things that I was working on. My Bible was right there. So you see somebody passing by, my office and go like this. There's a Bible in there. You see somebody going and say, there's a Bible in there. Yeah, amen. You see, people who want to be wise carry their Bibles with them. Because that's the source of our wisdom. Our wisdom we didn't figure out on our own. I read it in a book. We do crazy things. Solomon did a crazy thing. You know what? We're kind of crazy. If you believe your Bible, you'll wait till you're married before you kiss. Amen. Say, you're crazy like Solomon was. Amen. Come on, nod your pointy head. You know it's right. We do crazy things. We talk crazy. We talk about God. We talk about heaven. We talk about hell. We don't say hell. We talk about it. Amen? We talk about prayer. We talk about youth camp. I hope when you go home, people say, where you been? Youth camp! Don't go, I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. We're crazy, man. People are going to think you're nuts that you never smoke. Amen. You're crazy. No, I want to live. You never pick up a beer, drink wine. We do crazy things. Like we sing hymns. We sing camp songs, youth camp songs. Yes, the world's going to look and go, what's he doing with that sword? Doesn't he know what he should be doing? Doesn't matter what people think you should be doing. You better do what God wants you to do. And the people look at you and go, you're nuts. Amen. Still go down there in verse 24 and 25. A wise person, look at what he does. Verse 24, chapter 3, verse 24. I'm back in 1 Kings, sorry. I'm married to a wise woman. She helps me out. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 24. The king said, bring me a sword. Now, listen, how would you like to be in a kingdom where the king says, bring me a sword, and they go, eh-eh. Hey, I don't know. Yeah, he'd get the sword. No, you would expect it. Obedience. And it says this, and they brought a sword before the king. And verse 25, and the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. And believe me, that soldier who picked up that baby out of that little bassinet, held it up there, he drew that, took that sword from the king, and he held it back there, and he's about to slice it like a slice of cheese. You say, ew. I'm telling you, that guy raised that thing. Who's going to move now? The real mom. She jumps in. Stop! No! Let her have the child! And Solomon's there. Watch what he says. Watch. Verse 26. Then spake the woman whose living child was, whose the living child was, said unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it neither be mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. He's trying to stop that guy who's just about to slice it. That soldier, I want to say this. You know, if you've got to have some confidence that as in living by wisdom, that you expect this is how we've got to live. You don't go, no, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to upset anybody. I'm trying to live by the Bible, but I don't want anybody to live what's right, whether anybody likes it or not. Amen. And if anybody's going to be your friend, you've got to say, this is how we're doing it. Solomon had the respect of those people around him because he was confident in what he was doing. You understand? I don't know if you're understanding this. This is for you upper teenagers. These are for those of you who I hope have a brain cell or two to work together. This is, he says, you know what? If I got wisdom and if I'm going to act wisely, I have to do it confidently. Bring me a sword. Yes, sir. No doubt. He's not going, maybe I could use a sword. Do you guys think I should use a sword? What do you think? He's not asking nobody. He's confident, and he expects obedience. He says, this is what we're going to do. And that's what we need in our men. We need some young men who grew up to be 18-year-olds who are willing not to follow after the girl, but to say, I'm going to live for God, and if you want to be my girlfriend, you're going to live for God too. Amen. Amen. Is anybody getting this? Amen. Verse 26. Again, then spake the woman whose the living child was. What is Solomon doing? I need my chair. Give me a chair. I like this. All right. Solomon, I mean, he's Mr. Cool as the cucumber. He's just sitting there. He's watching this stuff go out in front of him. Bring me a sword. All right, divide the baby and give it to the two. And he's watching. What is he doing? He's waiting. No, he's already learned. He's already observed, and now he's acting, and he's letting God work it out. You see, there's a great verse in the Bible that says, when you've done right, you can trust God to finish what you can't finish. He let God expose who was the real mom. He can't go, you're the mom, aren't you? He couldn't know. There's no way to tell. He had to set it out there and say, okay, God, you're going to have to reveal it. And God did. And that's how you live wisely. Sometimes you just do some things and you don't know how it's going to turn out. You just know God's going to turn it out right. And that's faith. And Solomon here, he's sitting there trusting that what he's doing is right and that what God is going to do is the best. He waited for the truth to appear, that the real mom was going to appear. And did she appear? There was no question about who was the mom, isn't it? But verse 27, really, a wise man can make such a difference because he cares about people's souls. He doesn't care about feelings. Verse 27, and the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Is he worried about the woman? I mean, if you get the picture, I want to give you the exact going on. We could illustrate it with I could pretend one of you is a baby and have you held up upside down. But anyway, we have two women here. The first woman who has spoken. She comes, she says, this woman, she has stolen my child. That is my child there, and nobody will believe me. And the other woman saying, no, that is my child. But the first woman is the one who went through the whole story and made it so sad. Oh, it was an accident. I understand my friend here, this other woman, her child died, but she stole my child. Anybody would have believed that first woman must have been the mother, right? See, Solomon says, give it to the other woman, because this is the other woman who said, let the child live, let the other woman have the child. See, Solomon was concerned not about each one of the women's feelings. He was concerned about what was right. And you know what? Everybody walked away okay. I mean, look, one of the women stole another woman's baby. She ought to go to jail. But now she has to live with the fact that her child was dead. That's punishment enough. You don't have to pile punishment on top of punishment. Do you understand? Some of you who are older teenagers, you might understand. Some of you adults, you understand what I'm saying. You don't have to pile punishment upon punishment. He cares about that woman's soul. The other woman, the other mother, he has just handed her back her child. And then he's cared about that child. He didn't want to kill that kid, did he? He didn't want to kill the kid. Maybe when the kid becomes a teenager, maybe yes. But other than that... Listen... Don't worry about people's feelings. Worry about their souls. You may have a good friend. You may have your best friend. You may be bosom buddies. You've dug holes together. You've climbed trees together. You've broken arms together. I mean, oh, the best of buddies. And you're terrified of telling them they're going to hell without Jesus Christ. You're worried they might become your enemy. Don't worry about their feelings. Worry about their soul. Are you with me? One man made that difference, didn't he? One Solomon dealt with a very amazing problem. Solomon's a good example. Look at verse 28. Verse 28 said, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the king. For they saw that the wisdom of God, it wasn't his own wisdom. Whose was it? Whose wisdom was it? The wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Go to chapter 10, and we're through. Chapter 10 and verse 23. 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 23. Chapter 10, verse 23. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth from China, from Africa, from Ireland, all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which he had put in his heart. Listen, Solomon's a good example of that we need to humbly ask God for help. How often? Come on, talk to me. How often should we ask for help? Every day. Can I tell you, I ask for God for help of what to do all day. I get ready to preach, you know, my prayer is, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. I'm not asking you to help me. Help me help someone else. Please, God. I have to sit. Solomon said, I have to sit and I have to discern between what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong, what is that should be done. I don't get to sit. I have to preach. I have to make decisions. I have to choose things just like you do. I've got to have the same wisdom that Solomon had to have. Solomon's a good example that we need to humbly ask for God, help from God. Secondly, we need to, folks, he's a good example that we need to read the Bible from start to finish. Did you know in Deuteronomy, Moses was told by God that when men became kings of Israel, they were to get themselves a pen and make their own copy of the Bible and write it out. Not cut and paste, but write out every word so that they would read it themselves. And Solomon's a great example that you're going to have to read the Bible from start. Where's the start of our Bible? Where do you start in your Bible? Do you go, is this how you read your Bible? And it came to pass the day after, they went into a city called Nain. That's not how you read your Bible. That is not how you read your Bible. Where's the beginning of your Bible? In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Where's the end of the Bible? The end. Revelation 22:21 says the end. Amen. Folks, listen. You start in the beginning, you read it all the way to the end. Amen. And then what do you do after that? You go back to the beginning and you read it all. How many times do you do it? I'm on my 35th time. Would you like to read your Bible? You can do it. I don't think you're blind. Maybe stupid, but not blind. You know what the Bible's full of? People like, you know what everybody was doing when Goliath came out?
Send me all the men.
You know what everybody was doing? I'm out of here. You know what David said? Guys, we're going to have dinner tonight. He went out and he did the most foolish thing impossible. He took a slingshot to Goliath. You know, if you want some wisdom or some courage, read your Bible. There's a young lady named Esther who, when she heard that all of her people were going to be killed, she said, I got to do something. I got to do something. I got to do it right. If people are going to get saved, I got to do it right. Listen, read your Bible and you'll find out how to be wise. Solomon is a good example. What else? He's an example of how to go ahead and look foolish. I'm not talking about look foolish, you know. I'm not talking about that kind of foolish. I'm talking about people may look at you and go, that's a strange king. He doesn't do things like we expect. Amen. When you're at home, when you're at school, you need to be a little out of step with everybody else. Everybody else is going around saying, man, I tell you what, this is some groovy tunes. Nobody says that, I know. But anyway. Hey, let me pass to you some of my tunes, man. And you look and say, no, but I'll swap you with mine. Let me let you listen to some of mine. And they go, man, that's square. You still don't know what I'm saying. Music, your music ought to be different than your friends. Your clothes ought to be different than your friends. Your mouth ought to be different than your friends. I'm so sad by the filth out of kids' mouth. People ought to look at you by what you're not saying. Amen. Be foolish looking. Oh, if I wear this dress, I'm going to look foolish. Oh, I guess that's what I'm supposed to look. Amen. Expect people to obey you as you obey God. Hey, listen. Come up here. You know what one wise young man will do? If he expects me to be his friend, he expects me to walk like him. You see, instead of him going, oh, I don't want to upset Craig. No. I want Craig to be my friend, but I expect Craig to walk the path of the wise with me. You want to be a wise man?
No.
Amen. If you want to have wise friends, you've got to set your course and not change at all. Amen? All right. And care about people and their souls instead of their money or their friendship. A lot of people are like, man, you wouldn't believe who I met. Man, they got a lot of money. Doesn't matter. Worry about people's souls. I bet you got somebody that your pastor never could talk to. I bet you know somebody that none of us could ever, ever meet. But you meet them every week. And you may be the only Bible they'll ever read. You better care about their soul. And be patient. You see, when you start living by wisdom, things just don't happen so quickly. Sometimes you've just got to let it play out. But if you've done right, God will finish it right. What are you going to do when somebody hands you a cigarette? What are you going to do when somebody hands you a cigarette? I tell you what. There's nothing more fun than squeezing it and tearing it to bits. Right in front of them. When somebody asks you to lie for them, what are you going to do? I worked for a company. I had to answer the phone one time. My boss, I answered the phone. The phone was called Mediclaim. I said, hello, Mediclaim. My boss said, if it's for me, tell him not here. He says he's not here. Yeah, just a minute, I'll put you right through. Click. I am not lying for you, I said. Amen. No, I did not. because I had a track record. He knew I was a Christian. I was a witness to him. And he forgot that I don't do what he wants that's against God. All right? My point is this. You can do right. What are you going to do when somebody asks you to lie for them? Tell my parents we were together on Friday. What? We weren't together. I know, but tell them we were together playing. No, I will not. If they ask me, I'm going to tell them I don't know where you were. Amen? If you want to be wise, and if you want your friend to be wise, you need to do right. What are you going to do when you're caught doing something you know was wrong? Run, right?
I hope they don't catch me.
You idiot. They will catch you, and you'll be more in trouble. You know what? You know, if you get caught doing something you know was wrong, you know what you need to do? Own up to it and say, I'm sorry, and take the punishment. Amen. What are you going to do when a girl wants to kiss you guys? That's the way you spell it, by the way.
Kevin. Oh, Kevin, I want to kiss you.
Oh, you're such a cutie guy. Oh, Kevin, I just want to kiss Kevin. Kevin, run! Because they don't want to kiss you, Kevin. They want to laugh at you. They want to make fun of you. They just, listen, girls at your age don't want to kiss you. They want to make fun of you. Run. Wait till you find the right one. And wait till you're in church, getting ready to get married. And the pastor says, you may now kiss the bride. And I tell you what, it's wonderful. Well, it's not wonderful before that. But after that, it's wonderful. All right. So, what are you going to do when a guy asks you for your phone number, Elsie? Say these two words. Drop dead. Oh, but that's so foolish. I won't get a boyfriend. Well, you definitely won't get him. You'll get the right guy. If you respect yourself and you respect the boundaries that God... You ask your dad, Dad, that boy wants my phone number. Now, the boy will either be dead or well instructed. But you do not give your phone number to some boy who says, give me your phone number. I'm serious. You guys may be exchanging phone numbers. Don't! If you want, talk to your pastor and say, what do I do? And he'll say, tell them to drop dead. Yes, ma'am, what were you going to say?
If you tell your dad about it, the boy is dead
anyway. I know. That's right. So tell him to drop dead, or my dad will kill you. That's right, that'll work. Okay? And if you got a dad that'll kill him, you have a good dad. Amen. You see, you say, I don't know what I'll do. This guy keeps texting me, saying, call me, call me, call me. Yeah, because he's got no credit. He's cheap. Are you following me? You say, I don't know what to do. So you call your girl, Gilbert, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I like him, but I don't know what to do. If you pray and you ask God for wisdom, you talk to your dad, you talk to your mom, I bet you'll get some wisdom real quick. Amen? Amen? What are you going to do when somebody asks, how is it that you know where you're going when you die? It'd be good to have a wise answer. Amen? Amen. Folks, 1 Kings 10:8 says this, you have to go there, it says, and the servants of Solomon were happy. They were so happy being in the presence of Solomon, listening to his wisdom. Listen, the world needs someone like you. And like you. And like you. The world needs someone like you. And you, and you, and you, and you. To be just like Solomon. The world needs not just one of you. It needs all of you to be just like Solomon. But you got to start like Solomon did. How did Solomon start? Humbly saying, God, I don't know how to do this thing. I'm 10 years old. I barely know how to do math. I don't even know how to tie my laces. So you start off like Solomon did. We don't want to end up like Solomon did, do we? We'll learn about that tomorrow. But we do want to start off like Solomon did. Hey, wouldn't the whole world be an amazing place if people started to live wisely instead of dumb as rocks? I had some dumb friends, and they tried to make me dumb or dead. But listen, people would be a whole lot happier than they are today if they had some wise friends. Maybe they wouldn't be blind anymore. I know people have no idea where they'll go when they die. I know where I'm going. The light's been turned on for me. And maybe some more people would be at camp next year because you decided to be wise. But maybe you're still blind. Maybe I'm talking to somebody 11, 12 years old, I don't know. But maybe if you would only admit that you don't love the Lord Jesus with all your heart, that's a good place to start. Say, Lord, I don't love you because I don't know you. Maybe you're just doing everything that everyone else is doing. It's what you do. You're like cattle. You just go along the path with everybody else. You watch whatever comes on TV. Guess what? You know where cattle go if they don't have somebody helping them? Over the cliff. You know, tonight's a good night to get born again. And this, let me tell you how to get saved. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. This is how to become wise. Remember our verse, 2 Timothy 3:15 says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto... All right, now you've heard the Bible tonight. You've heard the Bible all week. You probably hear the Bible every week at church, but you need to believe it now. The Bible says that you're a sinner. I mean, you're not as bad as some older adults, but you know you do bad things. You disobey parents. You hate your brother or your sister. And the worst thing is, you don't know how to love God. You don't know how to love Him. If you just believe the Bible, that it says that it's because your heart is wrong. You're born that way. You can't fix it. You can't plaster it. You can't prop it up. You can't pump it up. You got to turn it in and get it fixed. And that's where you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you for being a sinner. You see, He died and took your place. Took a place of a little child and an old man like me. He took our place. And all you have to do, like the thief on the cross, is believe that He could get you all the way home to heaven. If you just believe it with all your heart. I asked Him to come into my heart 34 years ago. And He did. I didn't become perfect. I didn't really become that smart either. But I was saved. I was born again that night at 9:45 on a Sunday night. You could be saved tonight if you wanted to be. But you're going to have to admit you're not very smart. You're not very wise. You're going to have to admit that you're lost. And you need to be found. Would you like for me to pray for you? That you could be found tonight. That you could be saved. If you'd like for me to pray for you, I'd like to just put your hand up, put it up, and put it down. And I'll pray for you. Anybody say, Pastor Craig, I'm listening. I'm not very wise. I keep hearing this thing, being saved, being born again. I don't think I am. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody just put their hand up, put it down? Anybody? I mean, maybe everybody's saved. I don't know. But I think probably everybody's a little scared. What would happen if you got saved? Your life would be transformed. Jesus Christ would be Lord of your life and you would be a fool for Him. Yeah, the world will laugh at you. That's all right. God be pleased. If you're willing to be courageous enough, I ask you just put your hand up, put it down. I'd pray for you. I'm not asking you to do anything crazy. Just ask for prayer. Is anybody like that? Anybody like to make sure they're saved tonight? Anybody? All right, let me ask you this. Anybody say, I need wisdom? And by this uplifted hand, would you pray for me that I start to walk as a wise young lady, as a wise young man? Just put your hand up, put it down. I got several of you. Anybody else say, please pray for me that I walk the walk of the wise? Several of you. Amen. Anybody else want to pray that they walk the walk of the wise? Father, would you bless these kids? We've had a time to look at Solomon. Now we need to make a choice. And our friends need us to make a very smart choice. They need a wise friend if they're ever going to be wise. Lord, I pray that we walk with you. I pray you help every young person and all of us old folks as well. to realize we're being watched. People need us. Need us to have help so that we can be a help. So bless us as we dismiss tonight now. In Jesus' name, amen.